Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but a leg run's grinding home from Fear Endless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron, threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite on the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon. Wicks down the middle. Kingswell Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we will be previewing Bletchingley Stakes Day there at Caulfield, the Heath, of course. It's an off-season sprint, but there still are some nice horses engaged. It's just myself and Bot right now. Nico may or may not be joining. He's just got priorities on a Thursday night that are just not us, it seems, Will.
Yeah, seems as though, but no, he'll be back, I guess.
Unbelievable. But I don't think he'll be tipping much tonight anyway, and that's probably going to be the theme of the podcast. We probably won't be tipping that much either. But I've got a couple at Caulfield. I've got one at Randwick, and I've got a few at Bunbury that I'm very keen on. They will make or break my day. Bot, how's your week?
I've got one that I'm, if it loses, I'll be in trouble. not in trouble, but I'm very, 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 very keen on one of them at Caulfield. But no, my week's been good. I think you've got a little bit of news to enlighten the punters on if you wanted to break that news.
I do. It's some exciting news. Last Friday, I signed on with Bet365 as their WSP representative. So I'll be joining their team next week, which means I'll be on the racing.com broadcast Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. So,
which is very exciting.
It is very exciting. It'll be my first actual TV role, so it's very nerve-wracking as well.
Not your first time on TV, though, obviously. You play a couple games in the VFL.
Yeah, you threw me under the bus there, but I probably threw myself under the bus. But
nah, that was funny.
It was funny.
That was fucking hilarious.
Felgate loves trying to get me to pump up my own tyres as well on radio.
Yeah, so do I.
But yeah, I'll be first day on Tuesday, so I'll be with your man Terry Bailey.
I'd love to share a studio with the great man, the Golden Tonsils.
I don't know if you'd be able to handle him just ripping into you.
I don't think I would either, to be honest. But I'd give it a crack. I'd love to just have a conversation with him. Like I don't think there's anyone I'd rather have a conversation with in the racing industry. Like I think I just want to meet the great man. So if you can connect the two of us, that'd be greatly appreciated, because there is no one I love more in racing than Terence Bailey. And he's a great man. He's a great, great man, and he is sorely missed in within the racing industry.
Bot's getting a bit flustered. He's getting the red rosy cheeks and all for mate, TV.
I love TV.
It'll be my first time actually meeting him as well. It'll be straight into the coverage. So I might have to get there a little bit early and just sort of say good day to everyone and
You need to do the due diligence.
But yeah, if I do a good job, guys, let me know. And if I don't, then maybe just don't say anything because you'll be completely smashing my confidence.
I'll definitely be saying. I'll be tuning in the whole time. Oh. I won't be working, but I'll be watching.
Once I get a few out the way, I'll be all right. But the first week's going to be
you'll be fine.
It's going to be a little bit.
You'll be doing what you do now. Like it's the same thing.
But yeah, in terms of racing previews and 6 day, obviously my subscription service, nothing changes, guys. At the end of the day, I'm still trying to back winners. I'm still trying to tip winners. All it is, I am, you know, representing Bet365, reading out their odds and joining in the form discussion on the panel. So nothing really changes in this space. Don't think I've just gone to the dark side all of a sudden because...
He has gone to the dark side.
At the end of the day, I am still a punter. I'm still doing form. And I'm still trying to back winners myself. So, yeah.
Punish the bookies.
Bletchingly Stake Spotter. I've got a couple of favorites. Vega Magic won this race. He was an absolute star. One of my favorites. And there was another horse for Robert Smurden called Ability, who this horse was going through the winter grades when I was only just getting into racing. And he put up the picket fence. And he was one that I really latched onto. I think Dwayne Dunn used to ride him. Won a couple at Flemington and one at Caulfield. No, he's not a big name.
I'm normally quite good with those because I've always followed racing like before I was betting at all.
Yeah,
I've always followed it, but I have no idea who Ability is. So I don't know many. You always remember
those rogue horses when you first start betting. You first start going to the races, and for me, I started going in winter, going to Sandown, going to Flemington, going to all these meetings, and for some reason, it's sick. Yeah, I know.
Sandown.
Yeah. I was a little sick child. I was 18, but I was still a sick child.
Like I wouldn't go to Sandown on a Wednesday.
For some reason, Ability and Cepedo, who's actually had a couple of decent offspring, are just two winter sprinters who just really stick out. And
Cepedo is in the Stallion now.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that was another Mark Kent, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. He was another winter warrior. He won the sprint on Anzac Day, going back many, many years.
Hmm.
Remember Cool Chap? He won the Anzac
Stakes I know the name Cool Chap, but I don't remember the horse.
Yeah,
I remember Recommendation won last year. He won by 8 lengths. Was that this race or no? He won the race before this.
He beat Kalos by like a length in this race.
Didn't he? He won the Monash by like 8 lengths on that cast Caulfield track, and then he won by like a length. Yeah. He's racing on Saturday as well in the Bletchingly. So
anyway, that's a trip down memory lane. Let's get into the races now. Bit of rain on the radar. We've got 1 to 5 millimeters tomorrow, and then we've got 3 to 10 on Saturday. So, what are you thinking? I'm thinking that it's going to be at least a soft 6. Could be worse.
Yeah, and I think the inside will chop out. I think it'll be a typical Caulfield track when the rain comes. I think the inside will chop out, and the best lanes will be sort of lane 8. So, lane 8 in the true. So about lane four. Yeah, so about lane 4 on Saturday.
Yep. All right, you weren't betting in the first, but I'll quickly run through the race. 1,200-meter, 2-year-old race, Cherish Me. Sorry, Ole Dancer is $2.80 favorite from Cherish Me, $3.40. Miwa, there's a Chinese restaurant in Essendon called Miwa. It's pretty good. $8.50 from Street Artist, also $8.50. And Thanks Gorgeous is $9. I might actually have something small, maybe more on the place for Thanks Gorgeous. I just thought, down on 53 kilos after the claim, is going to map to probably lead. The rating last start is really good. Obviously, it was a strong race. We have a good opinion of the winner. What's his name again? Signature Scent. And the time was pretty good. So it'll get first use of the track from 3, just hug that fence. And look, I think it's a little bit over the odds. Obviously, last start SP is heavily weighing on the price now, but... Yeah, I could see myself having a small bet on it.
Yeah, I think that these sorts of races are hard to weigh up with the resuming sort of Blue Diamond horses because they were obviously younger when they were at the track, so their ratings, these horses are almost 3 essentially, so they're more mature and it's hard to weigh up these horses. I thought that this Ole Dancer as favorite was very interesting, because I mean. It goes Will Price to Blake Sheehan, but that it beat Artistic Angel by a length and almost 2 lengths, and Dampen, Uwe, Ooey Ooey Marcheri. You know, those aren't household names. I thought it was an interesting favourite, and maybe it was favourite because it's in a good camp with a good jockey on top, but I thought it was rather opposable, but at the same time, I don't really want to bet. I backed that Miwa in the size produce to beat Vinrock, so that didn't end up very well. But I do agree with you that that rating, Thanks Gorgeous, ran last time. Looks a little bit interesting in this race, but I think it's an easy race to oppose and just leave. Autumn Mystery is a nice horse. I'll be watching him leading into like a Victorian Derby or a Corfe Guineas or something like that.
Yeah, it looks like it wants further.
Yep.
All right, race two. Get your pencils out here because Bot is very keen. In the 1,100-meter benchmark, 78 handicap. Vidot is into $4.40 favorite, which is interesting. Pop Award put up the picket fence last preparation, goes Blake Shin to Matt Cartwright. A lot of people might be wondering why this jockey change has occurred. Matt Cartwright is obviously, well, not obviously because they don't have the same surname, so it's not that obvious, but is the son and grandson of Lynn Tolson and Leonie Proctor. Have we got that right? I think I do.
I think so. Lynn Proctor, I think.
Yeah. And he was in New Zealand while this horse was doing good things last preparation. So Matt goes back aboard. Gala Queen is $6.50, Chinqui $7.50, and Naval Academy $8.50. You're very keen on the Stokes horse resuming.
Yeah, Gala Queen did some things last preparation, ran some splits that I sort of think she got out to a mile. She's one of those ones where I think they put her out over a trip because she was able to get the trip. But I think the splits tell me the times that she's been able to run late and how quick she is, they sort of tell me that she might be a sprinter and she might be a whole lot better than these. And $6.50, I have her $2.60. So that's an enormous bet. I have had an enormous bet. I've had an enormous bet, and I will continue to have enormous bets. Well, not continue to have. I've had a bit on, but I'll keep going until I'm happy with how much I've got to win, because I think this is a fantastic bet. I think it's an opportunity bet. I could be wrong. I could do my complete ass, but I think I could win a whole lot of money on this race. And Gala Queen is a fantastic bet at $6. It's so good because I think she's the best horse in this race. And what the market's saying now is she's a miler, gonna get out to a trip. And I don't think she's a miler. I think she's a 1,200-meter horse. 1,100 meters is probably as short as she wants it, but that's fine. I think what the market did with her in the race at Moonee Valley, the Alexandra Stakes, they backed her really heavily. It was always going to be off the fence on that day that you had to be inside. And, the market, the expected rating there was enormous. And I think she's a lot better than these. And Verdot's basic. Pop Award's talented. But I think Verdot's more of a 1,400-meter miler than what Gala Queen is. And I think Gala Queen is a spectacular bet. It's the best of the day. It's one of the better bets I've had in a while. So wow. Gala Queen is a very good bet. I would have loved Joe Badish is a good sort of country jockey, but I would have liked a different jockey on, but that's fine. It's trialed up nice enough, and I think it's a great bet.
Sounds like it's going in the podcast multi, and we're going to lose first leg again. So
Yep. Pay the believers.
Pop Award's going to be my main bet in the race. I just think...
Pussy.
Please. You're not going to be saying that if mine's outside lead and yours is 8 lengths.
Stalking it and goes past it by 3 lengths.
I just think Pop Award is the here and now for 1,100 metres. Maps really nicely. Put up that really big figure at the end of last preparation at Sandown. Obviously, losing Blake Shin for Matt Cartwright isn't a positive, but I think if Blake Shin was on, it would be a fair bit shorter and would be the clear-cut favourite. So I just think Pop Award... As I said, maps really well. Gala Queen, Joe Bowditch is going to want to have his mind on the job early and have her forward enough. Drawn well in barrier three, so she'll get every chance to take up a spot if she begins well. And I can see what you mean. She's highly talented. She's got the late sectionals, so she'll be a saver bet for me or a smaller result. But I just think 1,100 metres around Caulfield, Pop Award might just be able to get away with it here. So it goes.
Tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of when Treasure the Moment resumed over 1,400 metres first up off winning the Oaks. Like, she's obviously not as good as Treasure the Moment, but Like it's the she's been able to show enormous speed, and she obviously can sprint, and she's racing basic opposition, and it just reminds me of that a bit. And I think it's one of those opportunity bets that you can make a whole lot of money off.
Fair enough. Bot's very keen. Race 3 is the Vobis Gold Stays, and there's nothing gold about this field, really. It's over 2,400 metres. Jimmy the Bear, maybe excluding the favourite, Jimmy the Bear, $1.65. How good has he been? Six starts this preparation, four wins and 2 seconds. He's $1.65 from Pounding, $3.40. Chihuly, $7.50. Farrago, $13. Longer the rest. It's only a small field. They're probably going to go slow here because a few of them are a real distance query, but they're racing for the good Vobis money. Look, I was happy to take odds on for Jimmy the Bear last time around. Had a really good bet at $1.80 max bet, but this time around, just out to 2,400 meters at the end of a long prep, I just think he's a little bit skinny now. So I've had something small on Pounding at $3.60. Look, there's not too much to say that Pounding will stay better than Jimmy at 2,400 meters, other than he did run his final 200 meters slightly faster than Jimmy last time. I think Jimmy potentially is a little bit all out at 2,000. His figures are better back at the mile. So Craig Williams, if he can get this right, then I think Pounding is a value danger. And I've had something small in him at $3.60. Farrago is the one who's completely proven at the trip. So if you get a good price for him late in betting, which we might, once the market percentage comes down and, you know, that betting really compresses, potentially I could be on Farrago as well. But Pounding is just a small bet for me. Any thoughts?
Yeah, Jimmy the Bear, he won't stay a mile and a half, but they're just going to walk here. There's no leader. I don't think any of them really want to press on and make it a test. So
does Pounding
lead? Just a test of, yeah, I think Pounding leads, and then Jimmy the Bear follows him. So what Craig Williams should do is make it a, like, not too much of a test, but like make it enough of a test that Jimmy the Bear can't just sprint. So you got to get the fractions right. I think if he goes too hard, Chihuly will run over the top of him and win. If they go too slow, Jimmy the Bear will win. And if they go like evenly and Craig Williams gets it right, I think Pounding will win. So it's a messy, messy race. They'll go too slow and it's gross and I won't have a bet.
Yeah, fair enough. Speaking of gross, race 4 is exactly that. So we'll skip it and we'll go straight to race 5. Over 1,200 metres for the 3-year-olds. Nouncy? Don't know how you say that, but $3.30 favourite from Salsa Fellow, who's been popular with a few good form analysts, $4.60. Bossy Bonita, $4.80. Electric Tommy, $5.50. And Scampi, off the last start, wins $12. But I think it's dual accepted, so might not run here.
Who likes Salsa Fellow?
I think just a couple racing.com judges.
Yeah, okay. I thought
Bossy, BZ, and Richo all like it.
Yeah, fair enough. I thought Bossy Bonita was clearly the bet and more like a $4 chance, so that $5 looks attractive and it looks like one I'll probably play. Craig Williams goes on. I love Craig at the moment. I think he'll put itself on speed. And this sort of form, I thought that rating that Bossy Bonita put up at Sandown was more than good enough to warrant being favourite in this race, and $5 is an attractive price. The one that I'll have something on as well at a big price was Foxenberg, who went probably too quickly last time at Caulfield. Might be able to relax a little bit better at over the 6 furlongs, and if it runs anything like what it did at Red Date on debut, I think that it's a big price in this race. So Foxenberg is the one I'll save on at 30-1.
Well, that is a big price, but yeah, it has been a little bit disappointing since its big debut rating.
Yeah, I know. I lost a lot of money on its second start at Sandown.
Yeah, same. Thanks. I think it was the third leg of my multi. Ruined it. Race 6, 1,100 metre, 3-year-old event open for the fillies. Savagery Vibe is $4.40. What do we think of Shadavar, who we were pretty strong on last time? It was a strongly run race and it was only first up. $5.50. Do we forgive? Not sure. Mystic Rain is $6.50. Well, let me finish, bot. Sunsetting is $8 and Manolo Bling is $8.50.
Everyone that gets into me about my podcast multi, it was a great bet. It was $5 something into a $3.20 Betfair SP. That was a great
bet. Got beat.
Yeah, got beat. It was a great bet still. I loved it. It was gone at the corner, but whatever. It'll improve. This is a gross race. Mystic Rain's a little bit interesting. Graham Begg, second prep, did some good things in its first preparation. Sunsetting should have won last time. Craig probably slaughtered it. No interest for me.
No interest, yeah. I could potentially forgive Shadavar and come with. A really wet track is could be a negative. By this stage, if it is raining, it could be a soft seven, edging into that heavy eight if they get the full 10 mils, but it just has to improve from a fitness perspective. And yeah, if it does, then those two ratings at the end of last preparation, before that fail at the end of the last preparation, the two before that were very, very good. So if it produces anything like that, then it's right in the ballpark and $6 is probably fair. Race 7 is a 1600 meter benchmark 100. Ellswood's going well. Back to the mile. Regal Vow, $6.50. Ellswood's $5 favorite. New Look, $7. Munamek, $7.50. I don't think you had an official bet here, but any thoughts?
Not really. I thought that they'll go really slow in this race, and that plays into Regal Vow's hands, but I couldn't back it at $7. It's a little bit of a gross race. I think St. Lawrence was the one maybe you could back if it goes forward, which I think it will. I think Gavel sent it forward, and it gets a gear change too, which is the winkers going on. So that's a little interesting. I expect it to go forward, and maybe that's the bet, but right now I probably don't want to play. El Rocco always goes well when the going gets soft. New Looks, interesting. It's been well supported early. It's got some good overseas form, but over a mile and a half. Earlswood's early favourite, but it comes off a 2,000-metre run, and I think that it probably wants a strong 10 furlongs rather than a slowly run 1600 meters. So I'd be looking to oppose it, but it's hard to oppose with the ratings it's been running. This preparation, it's going probably in career best form. Forgot Use, interesting with Blake Shin going on, off a really, really good run in the winter championship final. But I expect it to, you know, we know a lot about Forgot You. It's well exposed, and I think it goes best in really strongly run races. So it's just a gross race. Like, they won't go quickly here. It'll be whoever has the best turn of foot, and I can't figure out which one that is.
Yep. If the rain does come, El Rocco is almost certain to shorten, and I think he'll probably go forward. Yeah, he'll probably go forward from barrier 11. There's a couple of horses in this race who actually don't mind a wet track, but look, if the rain comes, then I could have something small on El Rocco around $16. All right, race 8 is the feature. Group 3, 1,200-meter Bletchingly Stakes. This is run under weight-for-age conditions, and I think that's a big part of the reason why they've sent Barrakeel here, who now has a pretty high rating. They would have loved to kick him off at 1,100 meters. He's obviously coming off a suspensory injury, and if you had said he'd be $3 in a field like this after his huge win in the McEwen last spring, then you would be all over that, but fitness is going to be an issue. Barrier 1 and a soft track might also be issues. He's the $3 favorite from Bridal Waltz, $5.50. New York Luster, $6.50. Kin's been supported into $7.50. Recommendation, the defending champ, if you can say that, is $8. And Yellow Sam is $10. You are sticking with the big last start rating.
Yeah, Bridal Waltz is probably going to start favorite, I think. I think Barrakeel has to get out. Wet track. It's a second. He's going to turn 7 in about a week. He's had one preparation. He's got loads of issues, obviously. And he's coming off a suspensory, and he might just never be able to get back to. I think it's completely reasonable to say, like, he could be gone. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, the trials were fine. They never really put him under pressure. You couldn't back him at just a little bit better than 2-1. I thought the Bridal Waltz was really good beating. Beating the good filly, I can't remember the name of it. The
one that she's an artist.
Yeah, that one. Last time, that was a good rating. She's down in the weights. Not really. Actually, she's got. Yeah. Regardless, she's. I think she probably starts $4.50. I think she probably settled forward of midfield, and she gets a great opportunity. New York Luster's a little bit interesting there. I think she's slightly too big at six. Best price is $6.80, and yeah, she'll go forward too, but I think maybe 6 furlongs might test her a little bit. Mm. Kin was really good. She's been met with a little bit of market support early. But again, she's going to get a long way back from gate nine, you would have thought. I thought Inhibitions was able to improve. I thought she was the one that maybe was a little bit big, as well as Bridal Waltz. So those are the two that I could play. But I do think Bridal Waltz will probably start $4.50. Bridal Waltz will be the price that I think she starts, and that's about at $5.50 now.
Mm. Barrackhill, clearly best horse in the race at his best, but I think your starting point in this race has to be taking him on at $3. I just thought it was a really, really messy race. New York Luster has a chance. As you mentioned, 1,200 is probably got to be a distance query, but I think it's a distance query with a few runners in this race. I think Recommendation in his older age is probably better at 1,100. New York Luster better at 1,100. Apache Song is going to go forward. Kalos isn't in very good form, and Yellow Sam's coming back from the 14. If I had to circle two, I would probably back two of the Godolphin runners in Kin and Inhibitions at around $8 and $12, but I don't think it's going to be a race I'm going to be involved in, so I'm happy just to shoulder arms, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of just like going back on it, I think it just sort of makes sense. Like, she was really good first up behind Alabama Lass. Second up, she beat Thames, who was breathing fire then, and she was beaten by Cleo Cat there at Morpheville. And then she was on the sort of the wrong side of the track at Flemington when She's an Artist bolted in. And then she beat her last time in like a well enough run, 1,200 metres in the Creswick down the straight. And I think she gets all favours here with Ben Mallon. I think it just sort of, like, it's one of those tick boxes sort of bets. Like, it's not like there's not a whole lot of value, but like it just has to be a bet here. Like, there's, especially with Barrackhill being so short, and you take a lot of that, a lot of market percentage out of him, and with like a couple of these other ones that get back in the race. So it just sort of makes sense, and it's a pretty easy bet at $5.50. I thought she'd start shorter than that.
Yeah, it'll definitely start shorter than that. It could start $4. So if you like it, back it now, because the She's an Artist form is one that the market will latch onto. So, yeah. Yep, bet now. Race 9, 1,400 metre benchmark, 84. Keep Your Cool, $4.20. Pariah Pearl should be sent forward from barrier 13, is $6.50. Sassy Boom, $8. True to Form, $8.50. And LOU, Damien Lane is back in town, and he says, Fred Kersley, get out of my chair. I'm taking the ride back.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one to price up LAU, because I think he goes really well on wet going, but it was wet there last time at Rose Hill and he got absolutely gapped. So he could be just off
end
the boil
of prep
a little bit. Yeah, could be gone. You know, Scott Cameron, I mean, like, without, you know, he does good things. I like backing him in sort of provincial sometimes. Damon Lane has a good affinity with him, but I thought it was easy enough to be against. The one the one that sort of jumps off the page at me really in this race, and I think is a big enough bet right now, is Hurricane, who Ben Malham goes on for Nick Ryan, won really well first up at Flemington last preparation over 600 metres. It's been gelded. It's trialled sneaky, dirty, rorty Nick Ryan trials. it was hammered early in betting. You know, that stable, when the early market, have a go at it. It's been, you know, it's gotten out a bit. The traders have, you know, they've traded off. They've put it out a bit in the market. And, you know, some of the ratings it was running last preparation early in its prep, it got out to 2,400 metres, probably too early, second up. It was a really, really well-supported $9 chance in the Herbert Power on that day that you couldn't make long sustained runs when Herman Hesse won. Yeah, I think that he is a really great bet at $27, the best price now. And Keep Your Cool is the massive box ticker. I should have taken $5. I didn't. I'm going to wait until it probably gets out in the day. If it doesn't, I'm not stressed. But Keep Your Cool is probably going to be a bet for me at maybe $4.80 plus on the day.
Sweet. So Keep Your Cool and Harry Kane, as I like to say.
Harry Kane is going to be a good result for me on the day, if it wins.
For the Bayern Munich / Tottenham Hotspur of old fans.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else around the grounds for you? I've got one in Sydney and a couple over in the west.
I've got a couple on tomorrow and Friday.
Yep. Geelong, is it?
Yes, Geelong. I don't actually know what races they're in, so can you bear with me for a second?
I'll go with mine first then. We go to Randwick. This will probably be my best bet of the entire day. Race one, soft track, 1,100 meter, two-year-old race. I'm with number seven, Nazwar. There's been a lot of damage done to this price. I think I opened $3.50, equal favorite with Shaggy, was into $2.80, sent the bet out to subs, posted it on Twitter at about $2.60. It's been hammered into $2.10 now. So might be able to wait and you might be able to get a slightly better price, but I loved what she did on debut. Look, it was only a Gosford maiden, but she won on the bridle. It was the fastest of the four 1,100 meter races on the day easily. Really good weight for age rating, really good speed figure. Has fitness edge over Shaggy, who is resuming, who also has a 3 kilo claimer going aboard. So that's a little bit alarm bells. Shaggy's going to go straight to the front, and if he uses his speed, then it's clearly the danger. But Nazwar, I think, could be well above average. Just go back and watch that replay last time. Could have ran a lot faster than it did. And I just think it's going to camp behind Shaggy, probably finds the 1-1. I'd be surprised if it's not fighting out the finish.
I've got the races here at Geelong. I thought it went really well, and Shaggy's probably limited and looked like a two-year-old to me. Mm. So it sort of makes sense to me, yeah.
All right. Go on with your Geelong set.
So race number six, I'll start off with Playlist, who went really well on debut and then sort of had a really nice expected rating at its second start but didn't do a whole lot. Has trialled enormous for Graham Begg, Jordan Childs. It's sort of just, you know, it's one of those. It's been a massive firm already, but I think you can take, I think it probably get a little bit better than $2.20, but not a whole lot. I think it's a pretty fair price. And then race number
can seven. I just say something? Playlist is a this is
that's the one that TB went off with.
Yeah, so when it won at Kyneton and TB, like I think pretty much declared it, I took one of the muggiest multis I've ever taken. Playlist to win race five at Kyneton, into Via Sistina to win the Queen Elizabeth, into Carying Rising to win the Everest.
Oh, God.
So that was what...
That makes me sick.
Was that at the start of the year?
Yeah, pretty much. That was like 200 days ago.
And I had Via Sistina in the Queen Elizabeth at $2.60 and Carying Rising at $5 and Playlist at about $1.50, $1.60.
That sickens me, but that's great.
It's sickening. So, but anyway, that's just another bet I've got rolling into Carying Rising now.
I don't know what's more sick, that you took that multi or that you took the multi off TB's declaration. Like, I love me some TB, but like, I wouldn't be launching things off TB calling things moral.
A Kyneton, was it a maiden?
Yeah, it was a maiden. First
anyway, it won easy.
Yeah. Race number seven, Enna's Dream. It's been well backed early. I think you could probably take two. What's my price for it?
Is this Chief Altony Light?
Yeah, pretty much. No, it's not quite as good as Chief Altony, but 1,250 meters, I think it'll put itself forward of midfield. It was enormous first up behind Bossy Bonita, who I'm backing, and I think it's in career best form. I think it'll win there tomorrow. And then race eight, the Shadow was enormous in its trials, and it's gross me saying backing off trials, but it's had a really good expected rating first up in Australia. It won really well in New Zealand. It resumes at 1,550 meters, just shy of a mile, and trialed really well. Jamie Malham, goes on for the Ben Hayes boys, and the Bubble Chica goes on, which is good because it was laying in a bit, on its Australian debut. So. It's the one there. I think it's a pretty average race, and I'm on that there. So pretty keen on that. If you got one in WA, that's the one that the WA horse that is really exciting. Even I had a look at it, and I was like, oof.
But you just said Jamie Carr for the Ben Hayes boys. You've absolutely nailed that last tip.
Yeah, well, it'll win, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, we go over to...
It's fucking cold, or who fucking trains it, who's riding it, it's going to win.
Belmont. Bit of rain around, as is the case in most states in Australia this weekend, but I don't think rain will matter for all three of mine. And we start in race one, 1400 meter two-year-old event. King of Light is around $1.60. And I think this is a very, very good horse. On debut, ran his final 400 meters, was the fastest of the entire meeting. Nine lengths above maiden average. The rating just is so much better than his opposition here. From barrier 11, Pike's just literally going to flop him out to the back. So for the thrill seekers like me who are going to launch into this price, it's going to be hairy moments for the first half of the race, but he just should swing him to the outer part of the track, and up to 1400 meters, he should just be taking care of this lot. I think he's a
WA. The splits that thing ran on debut, oh my God.
How did you know about this horse? You don't usually look at WA.
Because I heard Simon Nopolis talking about it.
Yeah, okay.
And I had a look at it and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is on the racing and sports podcast that they do. Yeah. This thing, and I had a look at it, I was like, ugh. Yeah. Jesus. Have a look at those splits.
Yeah, he's very good. I think he's going to target the WA Guineas, which is the three-year-old Group 2 feature in November. A lot of the time, these three-year-olds, they don't go to the railway. They go to the WA Guineas. They get that out of the way. And then if they're still up and running and the trainers are still happy, then they go to the Northerly Stakes, which was the Kingston Town. They carry a featherweight. I think the fillies get 50 kilos and the boys get 52 as three-year-olds. So that's over 1,800 meters. And I think, you know, this horse will go probably the 1,400 meter lead in into the WA Guineas, which is over the mile. And then if he's still up and running, the Northerly over 1,800 meters. So very exciting. Make sure you keep an eye on him. In race two, we're sticking with Supernatural, who you can get about $2.15 with best price. This horse won really nicely last start for us. Stays at 1,400 meters. Last time was the first time it had got out to the distance. And yeah, I thought it was a effortless win. That was on a heavy track, so any rain is no concern. And the speed figure was just a little bit better than Sunny Honey, which was on the same day. The thing I'm liking about some of these bets I'm having in WA is that a lot of these horses have run against you, either run on the same day or run against each other last start. So these two horses ran on the same day. Sunny Honey is getting to 1400 meters for the first time in over a year at least. And I just think Supernatural is the one. It's Pike versus Holly Watson. That's another big positive in our favor. And I just think he'll go and win again. And race four is the Belmont Classic, 2200 meter listed race for the three-year-olds. Fancy Red is into about even money from Arcadia Park, $2.60. They're the only two chances in the race. Yet again, these two horses ran on the same day last time. Arcadia Park, or Arcadia, I should say, Arcadia Queen, of course. Arcadia Park was in a really slowly run race, farcical tempo, came home well, and he looks like he will stay 2200 meters, but Fancy Red was in a race with a lot more speed. The rating was slightly better. The speed figure was heaps better. And even though it was against the fillies only, I just think she could be a little bit better. So up to 2200 meters, that's fine. She was actually 1,400 meters to 2,000 last start, which you would normally say is an abysmal sort of setup, but they do it quite often over in WA. Yeah, they do it all the time over in WA. It's just weird. But 2,200 meters here, I think she camps hopefully midfield a little bit further forward than last time. And I think we can just about bully Arcadia Park, who's drawn barrier one. He's a big horse who might need room. So, yeah, I'm keen there as well.
Cool.
That'll all right.
Tipping, isn't it?
I think that's all the tipping done. We need a best bet and something else for you. I know we know your best bet, but tell us again.
Gala Queen. My best bigger price on will be Harry Kane, and my lay. I'm not really. Well, I don't think I'll lay it because I don't really have an opinion in the race. But the Ole Dancer looks very short to me.
Yep. My best bet will come up at Randwick, race one, number seven, Nazwa. So it'll be, we'll know our fate nice and early, but mine's 11:20 a.m. and yours is 12:45 p.m. So that double will probably pay about $13. Take that. My best value comes up in race one at Caulfield, number eight, Thanks Gorgeous. Big starting price last time, but just respect the rating. And lay of the day. I'll go Jimmy Starr just because he's really short. He's a champ, so I feel a little bit dirty being against him. But anyway, as Julian Vallant says, you don't put what does he say? You don't put posters up of horses on your walls. I don't really follow.
I'd have a poster up of Jimmy the Bear on my wall.
Yeah,
that's a fair horse to have on your wall.
Yeah. All right, a couple of questions. Broom punting, is Bots Mrs. Real? Don't think so.
Probably not.
I've only seen photos. Also, with Carlton playing another Thursday night game, it seems only right to do it again. With Carlton losing to the Hawks by 5 goals tonight, what's the score?
Let me have a look here.
We're losing by 6 goals, so he's pretty bang on again.
Jeez, he's fucking good.
And rumours circulating about Kerno.
No, they're losing by 5 goals. 5 goals and 1 point, 31 points.
Oh, is it? My thing must have refreshed. Wow.
He's pretty good.
He's literally bang on.
I wonder if he has like a model or something. He's obviously not a model. He's not that smart.
Rumours circulating about Kerno wanting out. Is it time for Carlton Colucci reunion?
I'm not seeing one of the big screens of the VFL.
Mate, I played a couple games in the twos. I was never good enough. Trained with the big boys once. Charlie Kerno sat on my head. Took a on me. So that's probably a career highlight. Harrison Scott, Benny, what's your thought process when tipping in futures? What makes you think the price will shorten? It's a good question. Firstly, because there are so many marked accounts when I'm tipping one out on the sixth day, including mine. That's why when I'm tipping one out on futures, I don't take the price until after I've sent the bet out. So we're all trying to hit it at the same time. And the price automatically shortens. So even if we're wrong and even if we're taking a price that is under the odds, the price is automatically going to shorten. Nico's just come online.
And can I just say something?
Yeah.
When you say marked accounts, people will laugh at that, and like the people that think they're shrewd will laugh at that because you know you can bet on futures and stuff and marked accounts. But you run a subscription service here, so let's think about this. So you're giving tips out to lots of people, and that's giving, you know, that's providing people with information to bet, and then they can further bet. So would it be a good business model for them to cut you off and say no more futures for Ben? So people will laugh at you saying I'm a marked account, but no, I would go as far as saying if Ben didn't have the 6 day account, Ben would actually be marked and Ben wouldn't have able to be bet. So people will laugh at you being able to bet on futures accounts, but you are allowed to bet on futures accounts because you have the subscription and it's good for them in the long run.
Potentially, I am restricted on a lot of accounts as well. Like a lot of them, only get on to win like $100.
But people will say like when you say like, because I can't bet futures, me. Yeah. But I can absolutely guarantee you if you didn't have the 6 day thing, you wouldn't be able to bet on them as well.
Maybe. Well, I don't know.
Who knows, really?
There's even accounts of mine that are restricted and I don't have a subscription service.
Yeah, the landscape is
the volume.
The landscape is shocking. It's ridiculous. But let me just finish answering the question.
I was just saying that because people will fucking be really snide.
And bookmakers, they're cowards because futures are heavily in their favour with percentages and all that sort of shit. So they should be happy to take
stay alive. So they're allowed to do that. And they don't have to bet you on futures.
It's weak.
Because it's effectively a promotional. Yeah. Futures are effectively promotional.
What I will say is a lot of futures markets now are pre-nominations markets. So you get your money back if they don't nominate, and that's a big part of the reason why the prices aren't as good. So we're sending out bets, and I'm thinking in my head, if this horse is going to get to this race, if he is going to nominate and start in the race, and he's $26, like a lot of the time I'm thinking, well, if he's going to be there, he's not going to be $26. If things go awry before then he probably won't nominate. So that's my thought process with a lot of bets.
You know full well, we've been there, we've had a bet, you've hit confirm and it's rolled in from 26 to 21 or 26 to 15 and they've only taken your bet. Like,
yeah, 100%.
It's ridiculous.
That's fine. No, because the people that are going to be betting on Ben's advice don't particularly care about the price. That's fair. It's fair to say, isn't it?
No, but they're not even taking bets. Like, it's not even bookmaking.
Yeah.
Well, they are because they're taking Ben's bet.
They've taken Ben's bet and then they've turned the price in when they haven't taken the volume of money.
Well, they don't have to. That's the problem because there's no
money. Yeah, and that's not okay. If you're going to offer a price, you take the bet.
Well, there's the all in situation. So you get a better price because there's the safety net of
the prenoms.
Yeah, the prenoms is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Don't be on the bookie side here, Bot. I'm just being reasonable. They get blessed with enough.
Anyway, Nico, you've come in. You've got opinions in the first minute of you being on. Tell us your, because we're pretty advanced in the podcast already. Tell us your best bet, your best lay, and your best pray, and maybe some other advice.
Anywhere or just for Caulfield?
Anywhere.
Anyway.
Right. I'll just quickly run through the bets that I wanted to have. I think in the first race at Caulfield, I think Cherish Me should be favourite. If it's come back in the same order, this preparation, I think it'll be extremely hard to beat.
Yep, fair.
I have seen that they've expressed that they're going to get out to a mile this preparation, which is exciting. I think that the Blue Diamond prep that she had was all a bit, like when it won the Geelong race, that was super. Then they had to get over a little issue, bandage up what they could and get to the Blue Diamond, and it all sort of just went, pear-shaped.
Just for your advice, I'm probably going to have something small on what's a horse I'm backing?
Oh, there's another bet that I like in the race.
Thanks, Gorgeous. I'm having something small on each way.
Okay, well, maybe the punters can have something on that. And I think Street Artist is a nice horse. Good SP on debut. I think the margin is sort of a little bit flattering. I think back around a bend will be beneficial for this horse, and I can see it running a much improved race. There's money.
I agree with that.
There's money already for it.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's a nice animal. For it to start 550 in that race behind Jimmy Ricard and a few other good ones, on debut down the straight, I think that sort of signaled that this is a good animal and it's more than just me and a few other pundits with very little idea that think that. So they're the two horses I want to work around in that race. No knock and sort of Ole Dancer. It was good in Adelaide, but barrier one, short enough in a race where there's a few unknowns. We go to, once it loads, where is it? I think Jimmy the Bear in race three deserves to be favourite, but I don't think it's a betting proposition. If you were to get, a mega boost or an inflated price, if he drifts on the day or something around that $1.92 mark, I think you can have a bet, but yeah, I don't think it's a bet that you should dive into. He deserves to be favourite. He's probably the most likely winner. They'll probably just sit up and sprint home and he'll be too good again. But yeah, all it's going to take is for something to upset the apple cart and he could easily come undone. He's deep into a preparation now. I thought they might have backed off. But yeah, interesting to see that they're just going to keep pushing through. I suppose the money's too good to not. So yeah, deserves to be favourite, but not a pile-in job, in my opinion. The best bet of the day for me at Caulfield in the feature, number 8, New York Luster. I think it's the horse to beat. Barry Keel is the best horse in the race, probably no doubt about that. Coming off a serious injury, I think you can sort of take it on. Barrier 1, likely going to be a pretty wet track come Saturday if we get the full brunt of that rain. And I just think he might take a run or two to get back to sort of his best form. It's not a bet that I want to have at $3. If he beats me, I'll cop it. So be it. He's a good horse. I'll be happy to see him back in winning ways. He's got bigger targets than Saturday. I think New York Luster was super first up, didn't have a trial in the lead up, has come on. Wet track won't be an issue. Just sort of going to blend in the race the same as last start. And I think it's the bomb-proof horse. So if you wanted to get really aggressive, you could nearly mark New York Luster favourite and you sort of getting 650 and 210 to place. I think it's a fantastic bet. and I can't see how she misses the hole.
Sweet. Let's speed it up, Nico. Have you got anything else or just your
I've got
podcast
one
multi?
Bet in Sydney. In race.
Oh, yalla, no reasons. Yalla, yalla, yalla. Just tell us what it is.
It is in race 7, number 4, Sacred Rocks. Wet or dry, no issue. This horse is a really good horse, I think, and DriftNet's second favourite, so that's all you need to know.
Sweet. And what's your best bet for the podcast multi?
Who have you taken?
Well, I've taken Nazwa, race 1, Randwick, and Gala Bot Queen. Has taken Gala Queen.
Gala Queen. I'll take... I'll take Sacred. Oh, no, I'll take New York Lust of the Place.
All right.
Shrewd.
You can take it the win, but I don't think there's a possibility of her missing a place.
Wow.
No, you know what? Fuck it. New York Lust of the win.
Oh.
Or each way, whatever you want to do.
We've probably gone from a winning podcast.
Well, we took Lose Some, Win More the win last week, and he duly saluted. So just take it the place. Chip to Fine League.
Tom Sherry, you can blame him for not landing a podcast multi last week, punters.
And Bot's going to have a $7 chance.
Tulleries ran 11 seconds flat, final 200, but she got back to another postcode. Anyway, back to the questions. We're actually going all right for time. Ryan, Racing Preview syndicate horse when? Who wouldn't want a chance to own a horse with Bot and part of celebrations like this? It's the screenshot of Bot celebrating Brightside's win with Coops.
Syndicates of rorts. I shouldn't say that. Sorry.
I don't know. I'm not. I've had a.
I wouldn't do it.
It's not, it's not as simple as just getting the horse, registering the syndicate, and off you go. Like,
yeah.
There's other hoops you have to jump through.
I've been scarred from horse ownership. I'd rather just back the ones I know.
Just bet on them. It's way easier.
Yeah, 100%. But your mic just gone from 0 to 10 then.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. How far is Odessa winning by at Geelong tomorrow? Do you have any thoughts on that horse?
I thought that the second favourite, I can't remember his name, has trialled very well, but I wouldn't back it.
Yep. Will Alford says, any idea why Gala Queen's not 6-4, which means $2.50. I actually know that one.
Good job.
So I don't know who that would
be. I actually have a $2.60, but 6-4 sounds better.
But he's got
the
no
place
idea.
The place or... Oh, well,
Roxas FC, Mystic Rain in the 6th for the 4-peat.
I don't mind it. I know Trent Crevin likes it, and he's pretty shrewd. So,
winners win.
Yeah.
Mitch, not really a question, but back to Belmont this week finally. A few going around that look the goods if you have had a look over here. Supernatural, Yorga Pride, and Soldanel. I'm backing Supernatural. Yorga Pride I had a quick look at, but no, I'm just happy to back the three I've outlaid. Zaki, Barraki will lay the day. I probably agree. Lots of people talk about winning bets is from Jake Smith, but nobody talks about taking profit. What's the strategy around this? Or does everyone just increase staking until they inevitably give it back to the bookies? Well, I think if you want to take punting fully serious, you want to track your results and how you're going. And you can do well in this game. Punting is one thing where you can beat them. And even if you are increasing your staking, look, it's not inevitably to give back to the bookies. It's just about, you know, how much you've got in your bank, how much you can afford to lose at any given time. But yeah, I think talking when it comes to profit and punting, it's just a personal thing, and you just have to know it yourself. You don't have to go around tooting it. Just know that you're doing all right or you're not doing all right and adjust from there. Roxas FC, New York Luster looking tasty in the main. Yep,
yes.
Bot thought it was over the odds and so did Nico. So,
who are you with, Bot?
Bridal Waltz is my main bet.
Interesting.
Lucas Greenwood, most confident bet of the spring, excluding Ka Ying and Via Sistina.
And Tino in the Memzi.
I'm going to say...
1400 is probably too sharp for it, but maybe.
Might just be too good.
Residual fitness from Queensland.
Autumn Glow could be an absolute mozzer in the Epsom, down on 50 kilos.
I think Lady Shenandoah in the Winx is going to be a fantastic bet at like $7.
I don't mind that, actually, Nick. I don't mind that.
Via Sistina is going to take a run. Fangirl, I'm happy to sort of take her on. She's will be sort of VS16 at $1.80. Fangirl will sort of be $3.50, $4, and Lady Shenandoah will be $7, $6, $7, and she's in it up to her eyeballs.
It'll probably be a two bet strategy for me. I can see you love Lady Shenandoah, but if I get $4 Fangirl first up over 1400, that'll be my main bet, I reckon, and I'll probably back Lady as well.
I think you can sort of take on Via first up because she'll be deep odds on, and then second up she'll probably sort of be similar price, and I think Antino can have the jump on her at Flemington with a bit of second up syndrome, and then once she gets to 2,000 metres, Turnbull, Cox Plate, she'll be a different beast.
Yep. Ryan Patton, there are over 500 million users active on Twitter. How many of them are fake profiles just waiting for Nico to slip up?
let's not go into a spiral.
Probably about 1 million. Average racing nuff. With the 6 day being infiltrated by rats, can we get Bot, who lives in his mum's basement, to run background checks so I can get a good price? Bot strays.
Jesus Christ. My girlfriend's been questioned. I live in my mum's basement. Like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Strays, a couple of strays everywhere tonight.
Yeah, you are. So anyway, Bot, I'll give you $50 to do that background check. Amy McNiffs, how many lengths does Nazwa win by? I'm going to go with 2 lengths.
Depends what ride he wants to give it.
Yeah, hopefully in the 1-1. And then we just got a couple Instagram questions to finish up. And Cooper Irwin is always big on the Instagram questions. He's got two. Are we getting the review pods back in spring?
Maybe.
We will get them back eventually. It might be at the end of August or maybe September when we start to do them again. Coops, Bot, are you getting a cut for appearing in the Seven Racing ad? I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. There's the Seven Racing ad's got me in it.
Any royalties?
Bot's never had a haircut in his life.
Yeah, I needed... That was so bad.
Have a look at that mop.
Yeah, mate, it's gone now.
It still is.
Tom North.
No, it's not. It's fine.
Tom North. This is not the ex-AFL player, Tom North. Is $1.65 overs for Jimmy the Bear?
No.
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 I think he jumps $1.90.
I think $1.90 is probably fair. Dilpots. Oi, Ben, any chance of getting a hardball get?
He's a cheap ball merchant.
Yeah. No, Hardball and me just don't go together.
Whisper Ben Galuzzi.
Jack Jeno, Lady Shenandoah, a put-in takeout job this spring.
No.
Well,
she's going to be running in hard races. So.
Depends on the races she goes to. I think genuinely, each way, she'll be one of the bets of the spring in the wings.
Yep. I like that. Where are Mr. Brightside's runs this preparation? Memsie, Maccabi Diva.
Something else. Bit of normal. King Charles.
The race he should go to is the Underwood because nothing will go there.
He won't go 18 back to 16, but will he?
Yeah, he will.
He could. I would target the Underwood. There won't be any good horses going to it. Matt Erceg, Kalgoorlie, 1600 metres. The man, Bondi's son, is finally a chance to win a race. I think this is the horse I had a small share in. And
You forgave it?
Turfed it.
I've since got rid of it, but hopefully it breaks its maiden at Kalgoorlie. Good luck, Matt, and the team. And Isaac says, does Barrakeel get an Everest slot if he goes on to win a Manicato?
Why would you want to go to the Everest?
Oh, if he does that, then yeah.
But why would you? You're going to be running for like fourth, third.
I think whatever wins the Manicato probably will get an Everest slot, but...
Just go to the champion sprint.
Right.
Yeah. Nah, I'm going to say Barrakeel won't be running in an Everest. I don't know if he's quite up to that level. All right, let's wrap it up there. Nico had his quick little sojourn and he was able to jump on late. But
apologies.
That's good. Hopefully it was still a decent podcast. Punters, the good horses are only a little bit longer away, probably 3 weeks until they all resume. And the Winx Stakes is exactly... 29 days away, so only a month away from the first group one. Obviously a lot of the good horses have just started trialing, so don't go losing all your money before spring. Make sure you keep a little bit, and we'll be launching horses very, very soon, so stay tuned for that. Cheers.